Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
You are environmental researcher and scientist, as far as I understand. So correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm not, then great. But my question is, how did you get into this profession? How it started? Yeah.
Oh, it's a very interesting question. Because in my previous life, I can say it, before my entering in the university, I was a sportsman. And my most way of activity was judo. I am a champion of the Europe in judo, but after some changes in my life, I tried me in science, and I always want to be a man who can help people or nature. Have a development simultaneously in sport and medicine, it was very hard. That's why I choose ecology, cause easier, and mission to help nature, it's what I want to do. And after my sport career, I choose the scientific career. And I think it was 2015, it is the year in which I choose that I will be a scientist. Yeah, not a sportsman, but a scientist.
So it is very interesting. We also had some interviews with Ukrainians who are former sportsmen or professional sportsmen. For example, one who participated also in the Paris Olympics. And we speak to them and we hear that, you know, before the war, everyone was competing also with Russian sportists. And it was like, okay, fine to do it, but since the full-scale invasion began, of course, there are this protest against competing with Russian sportsmen. How do you see the sports environment in Ukraine right now? Maybe you have some thoughts on this since you were a sportsman before.
Yeah, I want to back in 2016. It was the year in which I had the first place in European championship, and the World Cup should be in Moscow. And it was the year in which I say no, it can't be the way in which I go to the Moscow to World Cup. Our federation said you can go as a sportsman without affiliation, yeah, to some country. It was the way which some sportsmen choose, but for me it was impossible. And after that, I miss the World Cup in my kind of sport, and after that, it was one of the reasons in which I finished my sport career. And now, if we talk about sportsmen in our country, I can see that our sportsmen can't speak with Russian sportsmen, can't collaborate, maybe. We as a, between us is a big wall, and there are no way to cooperate or have a conversation with Russian sportsmen. But I understand that European Cup or World Cup or championships, it's the place in which we can meet each other, but it's a principal position to have no conversation, to have no relationships with the Russian sportsmen.
And of course, unfortunately, there are many Ukrainian sportsmen who lost their lives during this war because they went to the front lines. So I guess also in your sport, there are people who lost their lives, sportsmen.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we have sportsmen in judo, which war died in 2016, 2017 year before the full-scale war. And I don't know, but sure that we have losses in our sports environment after the full-scale war too.
So speaking about your profession, about the science, what exactly did you do before the full-scale invasion? As I understand, you had lectures at the university. So what exactly did you do?
Yeah, before the full-scale war, I was lecturing university, teacher in the school, the scientist, and I have a work as a sectoral expert in National Agency for Higher Education Quality Assurance. As you can understand, my work was wholly aimed to improve our higher and secondary school in our country. And the main way of my development was ecology. I was working in Odessa State Environmental University as assistant professor, but before the full-scale war, I have no PhD. I only were as PhD student in my university, but I working in my department of ecology and environmental protection. And one focus of my activity was as working with schools in our country, because we organized a lot of competitions, events, schools, environmental schools for development ecological science in secondary school. Because we have a problem in our country that secondary school have no separate subject of ecology, and it was actual exactly before the full-scale war, because now we have some changes in our school system, and some schools have ecology as a separate subject, but unfortunately before the full-scale war, we have no ecology as a separate subject in schools. But our activity of our university was aimed to improve the ecological part of secondary education system. And we organized the first in Ukraine ecological school for schools, children, and it was four times. Yeah, and the second, third, and fourth times it was with UNICEF and Europort. It was a big whole Ukrainian school for children in which we try to implement some ecological initiatives in schools, participant schools. And I think it was great work because we can see that in Ukraine during the last 10 years, ecological education improving interest of children's of childhoods increased in this sphere. But not only with schools, my work war deals. One of the way of my activity before the full-scale war is science. I have the specific topic of my investigations like persistent organic pollutants. It's not popular topic for Ukraine because, as you know, maybe you know that dioxins is the most dangerous substances, pollutants in the world, as we know, and a lot of technological processes can release these substances into the environment. And my work was aimed to monitoring these substances and implement the calculative method of monitoring of these substances in our country. Yeah, so difficult information, I think.
No, it's fine. So the full-scale invasion was a turning point for you, as it is for many Ukrainians. So yeah. What did change in your life at that point?
Yeah, after the full-scale war began, my previous work seemed unnecessary because the whole our activities should be aimed to support armed forces of Ukraine. And in March 2022, I was in my kitchen and tried to think how can I help to armed forces of Ukraine and to continue to develop my ecological activities. And the first idea was create the project Plastic Saves Lives. What about it? It's about separate waste collection. My activity in separate waste collection was before full-scale war, but the difference between my previous activity in separate waste collection and current activity is that waste should be transferred to money, to donation, and this donation should be aimed to armed forces of Ukraine's support. And how it works, we collected plastic caps in Plastic Saves Lives project, and after that we sent it for recycling, have money from the recycling companies, and after that we accumulate this money and can buy some techniques, some support for armed forces of Ukraine.
So you somehow like contacted with the Ukrainian army and told that you have this kind of idea. So how this cooperation happened?
From the very beginning of the full-scale war, it was our friend which goes to armed forces of Ukraine, and he said that he's his brigade here. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say brigade?
Yeah.
We have a friend in brigade which said that his brigade need an ambulance, and this question goes from the concrete person, from our friend, and we know that our friend need an ambulance. But the next one, it was communication with soldiers who wrote the message for us in our social media, and when a soldier sent a message in our social media, we continue our conversation, we ask how we can help you, and if he's needed connected with our activity, because during the two last years we collected caps for drones, we buying drones. And if the needed of this soldier is drone, we can have this support and try to collect caps to send to this warrior some drones.
You're not the only person in this in initiative who like doing all this coordination and everything. So who are those people besides you?
Have a lot of people beside me. The first one is our partners, because we have the enterprise which recycle this plastic and send the donation to us. The next one is our big partner NGO Maria Vilnik Людей, which can be translated as Dream of Free People, which separate all caps from all the territory of Ukraine. How it works, we collected only specific plastic caps, HDPE caps. Maybe you know the type of plastic, and the type of plastic for plastic caps which we collected is HDPE. And our volunteers from the NGO Maria Vilnik Людей separate the correct plastic caps and incorrect plastic caps. It's our big team and big support in this project. The next one is coordinator in some cities, because Plastic Saves Lives located in Odessa, but we collect plastic caps on the whole territory of Ukraine, and our recycling points located in the all regions in Ukraine, in Kherson, etc. And local coordinators sent me a message that we have some plastic caps, and after that they sent these plastic caps for us by Nova Pošta. It's our one of the most bigger partners of the project, Nova Pošta Humanitarian, because they give a possibility for all participants to send plastic caps free. And it's a very big support, because you know that sending of caps should be very expensive, but thanks Nova Pošta Humanitarian that we can do it for free. It's a main team, main form of our communication.
And if we speak about how this practically happens, so these bottle caps that need to be handed over, do they also need to be somehow prepared in some special way? Maybe, I don't know, washed or something?
We don't need to wash it, because the recycling enterprise can bring these plastic caps dirty, but it's very important that it should be the plastic caps right of right type. HDPE caps. That's why we can, if we want to have more donation for our plastic caps, because we have a money per 1 kilogram of plastic caps, we can do one more way to separation of these caps. We can separate it by colors. We have one more partner as a project presses Plastic Ukraine, and sometimes they need in plastic caps in specific color of plastic caps. And if we send plastic caps to our main partner, we have maybe 12 Ukrainian hryvnias per kilogram. But if project presses Plastic Ukraine have an order for us and they want to have plastic caps separated by colors, these caps can cost maybe 40 hryvnias per kilogram. But it's not strict practice. It's maybe sometimes we can use it because these projects need in these plastic caps separated by colors. Not often, but sometimes we can send these plastic caps separated by colors.
And people can bring any number of these plastic caps to the points, or is I don't know, some kind of minimum amount? Or
What is it recycling point in our project? It's cafe, restaurant, or a school which want to have some bucket for plastic caps collection. And if it's a little cafe, we understand that the amount of the plastic caps should be not big, you know. If we talk about school, universities, we understand that they have a possibility to collect much more plastic caps.
I guess you see those points, those places where this collection happens, where the collection is bigger than the other places. So maybe you can tell in which parts of Ukraine people are most active, maybe to go and give those plastic caps.
Yeah, very interesting question, because it depends on year of the project. But the main place, the main city which collected plastic caps, it's especially Odessa. And we have some partners like Cafe Alternative, which collected plastic caps and sent it for us every month, a lot of maybe 30, 40 kilograms per month from the one cafe. But there are a lot of plastic caps was from Pivdenny city, from Kiev. We have one university, one not a department of university of Shevchenko National University, which is coordinator of separate plastic caps collection in Kiev, and it's a very big partner during the last year. And Kiev during the last year is one of the champions in our separate waste collection. Many thanks for the team from Kiev. A lot of plastic caps send it from Lviv, because all libraries in Lviv collected plastic caps for us. During the first year of the project, a very big donation was from Vinnytsia. During the second year, one of the champions was Mykolaiv. And during the last year, we have a lot of plastic caps from, it's very interesting, from Kapasians, from Kapasians regions, because there are a lot of schools in Kapasian regions which collected these plastic caps and sent it for us.
And are there some periods, some time of the year people are like the most active? I guess maybe in the summer there are way more these caps than winter, or so people are just, you know, the weather is warm and people go out and it's more easy to get those caps as well. And
I think according to the specific Ottawa projects, it doesn't depend by the season, by the time. Because all cafes work the whole year, that's why I think we have no difference between summer period or winter period.
Do you know maybe any of these collection points also have been hit by any Russian attacks during this war? Is there any problems with this?
Yeah, it was in 2024, I think, in Mykolaiv's university. I can't remember the name of this university, but students from the Mykolaiv university collected plastic apps for us. And I think in 2024, yeah, it was destroyed by Russian attack. And unfortunately, this point was destroyed. Unfortunately, yeah. And we have a lot of points in Kharkiv, and it's a very big problem for Kharkiv, because we can't have the strict point in Kharkiv, because you know that it's the city under the whole day, whole year Russian attacks. But in Kharkiv, people, in citizens individually collected plastic caps for us, and maybe if they live in big semi-detached house, you know, in big building, they collected from the flats a lot of caps, and after that, which they collect maybe 10, 20 kilograms, they sent a collective sending for us from Kharkiv.
And maybe you can tell why this initiative focuses specifically on bottle caps, these plastic caps, because we know other types of plastics as well. Why specifically these plastic caps, bottle caps?
Yeah, the culture of separate waste collection in Ukraine is not great. That's why we need to choose very understandable type of the waste. It should be clear, it should be easy to separate, and it should be in every house, you know, because we were wanted that children can use it as a way to support to armed forces of Ukraine. That's why the four main criteria is clear, is easy, is understandable, and the whole citizens have this type of the waste. And it have not many place, because if we talk about bottles, you know that bottle is very big, but the weight of this bottle is not big. It's maybe bigger than one plastic caps, one plastic bottle weight more than one plastic caps, but you understand that the plastic caps have less space, you know. That's why it was only one correct way to collects plastic caps.
As I understand, a large number of these caps are needed to raise the funds for army, for example, to buy an FPV drone or something like that. Maybe you can give some comparisons, like how much caps do you need to buy, I don't know, drone, or how much caps do you need to buy something, I don't know, bigger maybe, or...
Okay, I can calculate it. 1 second. If we talk about FPV drone, we need to collect 1.5 tons of plastic caps, equal to amount of one plastic caps weigh 2 grams, and that's why it's around 740,000 of plastic caps. But if we talk about, for example, ambulance, the amount of plastic caps was 12 tons, and it's equal to 6 million plastic caps to buy one ambulance.
So what are those things that you managed to buy for an army until this moment? So I understand this ambulance, and what more?
One ambulance, 3 unmanned aerial vehicles, 3 Mavic 3 drones, 3 Mavic 3 Pro drones, and 3 FPV drones here. One ordinary FPV drone and one specific FPV drone which can work in the night.
And how do you decide what exactly to buy for the army? Do you have some specific, I don't know, maybe brigades who tell you what they need, and then you see what are the chances to get this or that for them, how this works?
Yeah, all Ukrainians have friends in some brigades. That's why it's not hard to find a brigade which need in help. The main way to choose the brigade is, you know, we have a friend in this brigade. That's why our friend sent, oh, we need in 1-2 drones, and we sent to our friend's brigade. But it can be a request from the social media, our social media, and if we know that this request is true request, it's real person, real soldier, we can close this request from our social media too.
And can you maybe tell me what is the reason why did you not join the army? Did you felt that you would be useful to the country with your knowledge, with this kind of initiative more, I don't know, on the battlefield? Because, you know, we in Ukraine, you have this debate also now that you need to mobilize more people and so on. So can you tell your thoughts about why aren't you in the army and about this whole problem with mobilization? Yeah,
from the very beginning of the full-scale war, I tried to be mobilized, but in this period of time, we have a lot of soldiers, and in special points, men said me that you will be more effective in another place. It was 2022 year, but it's not main reason, because the volunteer activity is maybe 20% of my time, which I spend to help my country. The 80% of my time is scientific activity, is working with international partners. And now during the last 6 months, I work in Horizon Europe office in Ukraine, and we work with Ukrainian participants in Horizon Europe program and try to consultate it to improve the quality of their sign grants and grant proposals. That's why I think if it will be necessary to be mobilized, we all understand in Ukraine that it should be happened with all of us. But during this time, I work in my main work, which deals with science, ecology, ecological investigations, with international partnership in a grand sphere, volunteering the activity. That's why I think in this time, this should be the most effective way to support to my country. But if it should be changed, okay, we or understand that yes, it's possible to change our life in this way too.
How big do you think is the understanding in Ukraine? What is a friendly attitude towards the environment? What is ecology? How to treat to the nature, what is pollution and all these things. How do you see, do Ukrainians understand it? Do you see that there is a lot of work to do so that they would understand this? How do you see this?
Yeah, Ukrainians clearly understand that this war destroyed our environment, and the main tragedy which showed it was Kakhovka dump destruction, cause in Odessa region, Mykolaiv region, Kherson region, we had during 1 month absolutely dirty marine environment, and a lot of things from Kherson region was in our coasts, and it was really easy to understand that this war really have a great impact to our environment. We understand it because we had danger from Chernobyl, and we had the atomic station in Zaporizhia. We understand that the oil slip in our sea moving during the last 3 months in Black Sea, and it's a disaster for us too. The Ukrainians really clearly understand that environment have a terrible consequences by this war.
How long do you think it will take to, how to say, clean up or restore the environment after the war ends? I guess it will take many decades in some areas of nature.
It depends on many factors, because if we talk about a scenario in which Ukrainian government and our partners pay attention on ecological problems and choose it as a way to repair our environment, we can change the situation during 20 years, experts said. But if we have another priority ways to rebuild our country, to repair our country, we understand that some consequences should have a lot of time to be changed, to be repaired. But at least some decades, yeah, we need not rebuild, but renew, restore our environment.
Where do you see yourself after the war ends? Do you maybe in some way will get back to lecturing students? Or what do you think you will do? It will be in the scientific field, that's for sure, I guess. Yeah, but will you still be doing this also activities like this plastic collecting activities and so on? How do you see it? How your life looks like after the war will end?
I can't build some plans because I don't understand what will be tomorrow. But if we talk about my dreams, yes, I see myself in maybe not university, but scientific institute, yeah, as a person, as a scientist who try to create at least the system of monitoring of the environment in our city, because the main problem of our city and Ukrainian city is absence of monitoring system of the environment. And it's really important to know which statement, yeah, what happens with our environment. It's very important to understand what's happened with our environment. And for these purposes, we need to have the system of the environment monitoring. And maybe in my dreams, after the full-scale war, I want to be a person who will develop this system, who will develop the system to fix environmental problems and have reasons to propose solutions of these problems. And maybe after that will be a person who can create the mechanism to improve our environment in our country.
And I guess this cooperation between Ukrainians and people from European Union, from those countries, it's also increasing during the war, and also because Ukraine is like getting closer and closer to the EU membership, and this cooperation is also getting stronger in this field in science and nature. Do you feel it as well, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. This, all which I said, possible only in strict cooperation with European Union, with other countries, because we understand that we have the same environment. And if we talk about climate change, the ecosystem of the Earth is only one system for all of us, and only in strict cooperation between European scientists, American scientists, and other scientists in the world, we can really change something. Because climate change shows that our planet is only one for all of us, and when we change something in our country, we really change something in the global ecosystem. As a scientist understand it, I understand that it's not clearly for citizens, for people who don't work in the science, but if we talk about ecology, about environment, the activities of some countries really connected with activities of in other countries. And if we talk about our best future, we need to cooperate our activities in ecology to improve the quality of our environment.
Okay, well, thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
Paldies, tas bija Rihards Plūme, kurš sarunājās ar viduspētnieku un zinātnieku Vladislavu Mihailenko. Nu redz, paldies, ka tu uzdevi arī tādus nērtus jautājumus par mūsu varoņu pašu dalību armijā, un tad mēs arī redzam, ka nevienmēr visiem ir jābūt frontē, ir cilvēkiem, kam jādara arī citas lietas. Tā skaitā jārūpējas par ekoloģiju. Nu, jā, šeit tāds win-win gadījums, kad arī pat tāds mazumiņš kā vienkārši korķītis var dot galu galā gana lielu efektu, un šis, protams, tās ne tik daudz varbūt pat par korķīšiem, bet par to, ka katrs, kurš tiešām to vēlas, var atrast veidu, kā lielajai lietai pielikt savu roku klāt. Ja jūs zināt kādu, kuram šī tēma varētu būt šķitusi interesanta, padalieties ar saiti uz mūsu šīs nedēļas epizodi vai atrakstiet mums uz drošinātājs @Latvijas Radio LV. Vienmēr būsim priecīgi dzirdēt jūsu atsauksmes, ieteikumus, viedokļus, kā arī, protams, ka varat ieteikt mums viesus, kurus būtu vērts uzrunāt, vai arī tēmas, kuras būtu vērts izrunāt ar mūsu eksperti Kristīnu Bērziņu. Bet šajā nedēļā tas viss, nākamajā nedēļā parunāsim nedaudz par Krievijas propagandu, ir iznākusi jauna grāmata un aprunāsimies ar tās autoru par ne tikai vienkārši interesantām, bet ļoti būtiskām lietām saistībā ar to, kā Krievija cenšas ne tikai ar karaspēka palīdzību, bet citām viltīgām metodēm ieņemt mūsu prātus.
Jā, tiekamies jau pēc nedēļas 102. Epizodē, joprojām gaidām arī, protams, jūsu viedokļus, idejas un jebko citu, kas ir uz sirds un droši tas ir rakstāms uz mūsu e-pastu, drošinātājs @latvijasradio.lv un jauna epizode katru ceturtdienu un nemainīgs joprojām ir arī mūsu epizodes nobeigums. Drošinātājs skaidri un personīgi par karu Ukrainā.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.